If you just heard a fire alarm, it was not our fire alarm. It was our exit door. When the fire alarm does go off, we will leave, but that was just an exit door, and they fixed it when someone off. You probably didn't even hear it. Did you hear it?
Yes.
Okay, it's off.
Yes, we heard it.
Okay, let's see your Bibles this morning. Say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Pens. Let's see your pens.
Lesson plan.
Hey, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And as we turn there, let me comment on a slide you saw. We are going to start a rock church in the North County in South Carlsbad in June. And that church will, amen. We will have worship. Everything we have here except the sermon will be the video from here. And we'll just have a church every week. It's going to be starting at Sunday night. We want to multiply our church around San Diego, but also around the country. I really have a very, very strong passion to put one in New York City. We would send a team there, and we would just have a rock church in New York City. So if any of you feel an interest in that, you can just call the office and speak to a guy named Mickey or David Cooper, Mickey Stonier, and tell them you're interested in that. We're going to be putting together teams to go all over the place so we can multiply what we're doing here. So just to throw it out there. But in June, we'll be right here in Carlsbad. That'll be our first one, and we'll test it out and see how it goes. Any of y'all live up north would be interested in going to that place, by the way. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand up high. Okay, very good. Okay. Let's see. Romans 12. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness, and we pray that you would bless us, and we pray we can be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have ever caught somebody in a lie, and as you're talking to them, they are constantly recreating their story to try to get out of the lie? I mean, anybody? Okay. How many of you were that person? Okay, you got busted, and you're like, oh, man, how do I get out of this? And then you tell another lie. You know, it's like, you know, your girlfriend, you're messing up on your girlfriend, and she catches you driving out of a neighborhood you're not supposed to be in, which happens to be where your old girlfriend used to live. And she says, where were you? And you claim you were in another side of town. But I saw you coming off so-and-so street. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I just got a job with FedEx, and I was just delivering a package. And, well, how come you all got brown on? Well, you know, I used to work for UPS. They didn't get the uniform in time. And, you know, you just start making up all this craziness. Someone once told me that if you tell the truth all the time, you don't have to remember what you said. A similar thing is true with knowing God's will. Often we live a foul life, and we want God to tell us something about what we're supposed to do, who we're supposed to be. And then we live a foul life, and then we want God to tell us something again. And if we just seek God, his will be plain to us. If we are transformed into his image and we surrender ourselves completely to him, he will transform us into his will. You will begin to think like him all the time. It's not like his will for you is going to be something foreign. It's going to be how you think, how you act. As a matter of fact, most of us are sure of what we know isn't God's will. Can I get an amen? And if you wrote down all the things you know God doesn't want you to do, and you just eliminated that, you'd be halfway there. So what we're going to talk about today is how we can be transformed into God's will. Now, we're in week three of a three-week series. Next week, we're going to start a new series called The Royal, and it's going to go from now next week, May 2nd, all the way to Christmas. We're going to learn how to read the Bible and all the different literary styles in the Bible. We're going to take seven different literary styles in the Bible, spend 3 weeks on each one. We're going to give you daily devotions so you can read the Bible every day and get in the habit of reading the Bible every day. And so that's next week. But today, we're just going to finish up on knowing God's will. Now, in Romans chapter 1 through 11, the Apostle Paul is talking about being justified. He's talking about salvation and how you can only be saved by faith. He talks about the fact that all are sinners and that we are completely depraved. We are more sinful than we think. How many of you realize that you are worse off than you think in your sinfulness? Okay. How many think that you're pretty good? Okay, just a few of y'all. Okay. Okay, we'll just pray for y'all who think you're pretty good. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That means our pride blinds us from our junk. And if you really want to know how good you are, just ask some, how bad you are, just ask somebody else. Am I good? They'll go. But Paul talks about how we're all sinners, how because of our sin, we are enemies of God. We are God haters by nature. We don't want to do what God wants to do. We want to do what we want to do. Our sinful nature fights God, it resists God. And that we can only be saved by faith. You cannot be saved by doing good works. If you are saved, good works will follow. But if, by good works, you cannot earn salvation. You prove that you have salvation by your good works. And so he tells this whole story that you can only be justified by faith, that all have sinned. The penalty of sin is death. We're all going to die because of sin. And that while we were God haters by nature, Jesus died for us. While we were God's enemies, Jesus died for us. So he builds this case like a lawyer, basically saying we're completely hopeless, and the only hope we have is in Christ. And then he gets to verse chapter 12, verse 1, and he says, therefore. Everyone take a deep breath in. Say, therefore. Therefore is a transitional word going from theoretical to practical. For example, you want to get a girl, theoretical, you need to brush your teeth, practical. Y'all got that? Good. Theoretical, practical, okay? So he says, in theory, you got all this stuff messed up, therefore, here's what you need to do. Okay, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, according to God's mercy, by the way, justice is when you get what you deserve. You never want to pray for justice for anybody. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Okay? You're supposed to get death and hell. God says, I'm going to hold off. God's mercy. Grace is when you get something good that you don't earn. That's grace. So, justice, grace, and mercy. Here he says, according to God's mercy, the fact that he has withheld justice from you and withheld punishment for you for a time being, by the way. It says, according to God's mercy, present your body a living sacrifice. Everyone say living sacrifice. Holy, say holy. Say acceptable to God. And then it says, which is your reasonable service. The only reasonable thing for you to do based on the information, based on the facts, is for you to present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And then it says in verse 2, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed, metamorpho, changed from the inside out. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Everyone say, why? Say, why, might I ask? Well, let me answer. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Everyone say good. Good. Say acceptable. Good. Say perfecto. Perfecto. Will of God. If you want to know God's will, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't try to look like everybody else and be like everybody else and do what everybody else. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Number one in your notes. Present your body a living sacrifice. Your body, living sacrifice. B-O-D-I-E-S. Say bodies. Give me your right hand or left hand. Just one of them, doesn't matter. Like this. And then hit the opposite side of your chest like this. That's your body. I know you know that. But when it says your body, it means this. Your body. You've heard people say, this is my body, I can do with it what I want. It's not yours. You didn't create it. You didn't bring it into existence. You didn't design it. You've never seen most of your body. You've only seen the outside shell. You've never seen inside your body. You don't know how it functions, especially on a molecular level. You don't know about your hormones, the many hormones that you have. You ever see your circulatory system, your nervous system, your reproductive system, your respiratory system? You haven't seen all that. It's not yours. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. God has given it to you on loan. And he says, I want you to give it to me as a living sacrifice. Now, when you come into church next week, when you walk out, you may try to see it, but there may be too many people for you to see it. Right before you walk out the door, maybe 20 feet before you walk out the front door, there is a carving in the floor It's about 5 feet square. It's called the brazen altar. It's the altar that was in the tabernacle when Jews walked 40 years in the wilderness, and it was in the temple, Solomon's temple, and it was 3 or 4 feet high. They would burn animals, sacrifice animals on it. It had coals in it. It was on fire, and they would kill the animals, put the animal on the altar, and the fire would consume the sacrifice, and God would smell the aroma. It was a dead sacrifice, and the fire would consume it. What we need to be are living sacrifices, that you give your body to God, your physical body, your mind, your dreams, your heart, all your fingers and toes, your ears, your eyes. Look at number one of your notes. After number one, it says, is a list. Your eyes, keep your eyes pure. Job is a man in the Bible. It's a book in the Bible. Job made a covenant with his eyes that he would not look on a woman lustfully. His eyes. Don't, what do you look at? Now, your eye is a lamp to your soul. What goes in your eye goes into your heart. Your eyes are also an extension of your brain. Literally, it is your brain come out your face. Your eyes, that's what they are. That's true. Sometimes when I'm watching TV, I'll be flipping through the channels, and I may come on like a Victoria's Secret commercial will come on. And they got the wings, and they're having their fashion show. Okay, it'll be advertised in a fashion show. And so my daughter will say, "Daddy, cover your eyes." I'm like, I'm not looking at the girls. I want to get the wings. I want to buy the wings. Or, you know those novellas? Anybody know what a novella is? How many of you do not know what a novella is? Okay, it's those Spanish soap operas. All the hot mommies on there. My daughter, cover your eyes. I know, no habla inglés. I know habla. No comprende. I don't know what you're saying. God says, when you look at something, I want you to ask yourself, are you looking at something I want you to look at? Are you looking at something that's caused you to think about something that would be sinful to do? I'll say that again. Are you looking at something that's causing you to think about something or feel something that would be sinful to do? It doesn't have to be sexual. It could be, you know, you're coveting a house, you're coveting a car, whatever it is. But you're looking at something and you're using your eyes and your ability to see and process what you see in a way that does not honor God. God says, I want your eyes. Now, some of y'all wear things to attract eyes to things. Sometimes y'all would wear things or approach people because you want someone to look at something. And when those people come up to you and your eyes are being called, look at me. You have to make a decision that you are going to say no. However you can prevent your eyes, whether you're talking to them like this, yes, I'll talk to you tomorrow, and da 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 da. Or you have a little guard right here so you can't see down. And the guard goes right below her eyes. However you do it. Or you have to say, I have to leave. I have to go right now. Goodbye. Fellas, can I get amen? Amen. Girls, you need to ask a guy what your clothes say. You know what I'm saying, right? What does this say to you? You will be shocked. I don't think you'll be shocked. You may not be shocked because I know some of y'all do it intentionally. But some of y'all don't. Some of y'all are just ignorant to how guys think. You need to make a covenant with your eyes. Walking by, just because they don't need to look at it. You just turn around until it goes by. Your eyes. Your hands. The Bible says lift up holy hands. Don't let your hands touch anything that it shouldn't touch. Don't let it hold anything it shouldn't hold. Are you following me? These don't belong to you. And what these touch, they're very sensitive. What these touch will affect how you feel, what you think, what you imagine. Let these be God's. I'm going to use these only for you, God. The third one is legs. Don't let your legs take you someplace you shouldn't go. And don't flaunt your legs in ways they shouldn't be flaunted. I was in Las Vegas. It was like 20 years ago. Never forget this. I'm walking through the airport. And this girl was walking. She had a skirt. It was a rubber band skirt. That's what I call it. It was like that from top to bottom, 3 inches, and it was tight. And she was walking like this. And she was kind of like doing this the whole time. Now, I'm the kind of person, I'll talk to anybody anytime. I don't have to know people. I talk to people I don't know all the time. And she's walking towards me and just. And I'm walking going, what is this? So I just kind of stood in front of her. I said, you know what? If you got a longer skirt, you wouldn't have to do that. You know what she did? Am I saying that you shouldn't show your legs if they're nice? No, not saying that. Do what God tells you. Do what God tells you. Your mind, what do you think about? Don't raise your hand, but how many of y'all think about stuff? You're arguing with people all the time. You're worrying about stuff. I'm not this. I'm never going to do this. As a man thinks, so is he, Bible says. Do you know that pornography makes more money than the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, hockey combined? Combined. You know why? Because of the mind. I used to do a lot of safe sex assemblies and classrooms, workshops for public schools, Christian schools, most public schools. And they would say, you know what, we want you to come in and talk about abstinence or whatever it was. And I would start off my talk by saying, I'm going to teach you kids how to have the best sex you ever had. And they start screaming, and the teacher goes, I think we got the wrong speaker. That wasn't the topic. So I would look at the teachers and go, just work with me. They don't know what I'm going to say. But I would ask the students, what is your most powerful sex organ? And they don't know. And it's your mind. It's your mind. This is the most sophisticated computer known to man, and man will never create anything that can work like the brain. God gave you your brain. None of you, and I know this for a fact, I don't, but I'm assume it, none of you have ever seen your brain. I know none of you created your brain, and I know you don't know how it works, because nobody knows how it works completely. It's beyond. It was created with staggering genius. And God says it belongs to me. Use it for my glory. Just imagine if you thought about things that God wanted you to think about. You looked at things that God wanted you to look about. The next one is your mouth, that you said things that God wanted you to say. As a matter of fact, let me have a show of hands. Remember, this belongs to God. So does this arm. And all the 600-something muscles that work together to make us, enable us to move, by the way. How many of you have said things, and as the words were coming out of your mouth, there was a little voice in the back of your head said, you better shut your mouth. Amen. And you were fighting against this heat that was just, because heat of guilt, and you kept saying it, and it was like it was just coming out like poison, and you kept talking, and you kept more guilty, and God was in the back of your head going, you know you need to shut your mouth. And you kept talking and talking and talking. Instead of saying, hey. Someone comes up to you and says, hey, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? I heard you know what happened. And you want to say something so bad. And God is telling you, don't say anything. And you're like this. That is what walking with God means. Making this stuff obey him. It has nothing to do with what you feel. Nothing. Other than you have to overcome your feelings. But it doesn't has nothing to do with, well, I feel I can say this, and I feel okay, and I didn't feel convicted. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with whether it's right or wrong. And we all know gossip is always wrong. We all know cutting people down is always wrong in a malicious way. We all know that. We all know cursing is wrong. We all know this and that. As a matter of fact, it's interesting what they're doing in the NFL, how they're suspending this guy which I believe they should, but when did they decide that that was wrong? They needed to make it clear, here are the things you can't do, which, by the way, I agree, those things are wrong, but the world doesn't really have this moral standard that they're clear about. Because one guy can do one thing, another guy can do another thing. We all have a very clear moral standard. And when you decide, I am going to only use my mouth to do what God wants me to do, I'm only going to look at the things he wants me to look at, I'm only going to think about the things he wants me to think about. Look at the next one. I'm only going to let in my heart what honors God. The Bible says, protect your heart with all diligence because from it flow the issues of life. The Bible says from the heart comes murders and rapes and cursing and hatred. From the heart. What you put in is what you're going to get out. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. If you say one curse word, that means you got a whole bunch piled up waiting to come out. You say one hateful thing, means you got a whole lot piled up because it's the overflow that we hear. So you want God, you want to present your body a living sacrifice and say, Lord, I can function. I can speak for you. Give me the words to say. I can encourage for you. I can listen. I can put myself in a physical place with my legs or my wheelchair can get me someplace, and I can make a decision to go someplace and be a listening ear, be an encouraging voice. I can do that because this belongs. You have given me power over my body. So I'm going to make the decision to honor you with what I do. If you just did that, that is what it means to walk with God. That's what it means to walk with God. Make this a living sacrifice, a functional sacrifice. Oh, by the way, when the Bible says that you have been set free, you shall be when you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, and you shall be free indeed. One of the things that John's talking about is that you are now free to obey. In other words, you can now, with the power of the Holy Spirit, love people who hate you. You can say no problem when someone curses you out in front of a whole bunch of people instead of fighting. You can. You can do that. You have that freedom. Where before, you were a slave to sin. You knew no different. You didn't want any different. And your rage took over, or your passions took over, or your lust, whether it be sexual lust, whatever kind of lust. Lust means that the strong desire to have something that doesn't belong to you. So you, I want. But now you have the freedom to say, I can say no. You need to be convinced of that. Because I think a lot of Christians are not convinced of the freedom they have. You can say no. You can break up with somebody that you know is no good for you. But you are enslaved, and they have twisted your mind, and they manipulate your mind every week. And they tell you they love you, and you are convinced that that dysfunctional love is what's best for you, and it is not, and it never will be. You can say, it's over. Will it hurt? Will it be uncomfortable? Will it be foreign? Yes, but you will get over it, and you will be so glad when you do. And so God, when God says set you free, that means that all of this belongs to nobody but God. I do not belong to you, and I do not work for you or the Rock Church 501c3 nonprofit. I belong to God. And the minute God says, you know what, Miles, you're done, guess what? I'm done. I was on a plane the other day, and it started bumping and shaking. Boom. And the guy said, stewardesses, take your seat. You know it's serious. And then all of a sudden it went, boom, and all the drinks hit the ceiling. And I'm like, okay, God, is it time? Because if it's not, I'm going to go back to work. He said, don't worry about it. We're good. I said, okay. Because it's 100% up to him. It's 100% up to him. Number two in your notes, provide yourself as a holy and acceptable sacrifice. Everyone say holy. Holy is from the Greek word hagios, which means set aside for a singular purpose. How many of y'all have a history of Catholic Church in your life? You went to Catholic Church, Catholic school. Yeah, most of y'all, more than half of y'all. I went to Catholic school for 8 years, Our Lady of Lourdes. My teachers were nuns. We had a couple of non-nun teachers, but most of them were nuns. And those women instilled a lot of great things in my life. One of them was the fear of God. Huge fear of God. And I remember going into Catholic Church, into the church itself. Our church had these big, gigantic medieval wood doors with bolts on them, and they were like 4 feet thick, and they weighed 4 million pounds each. And you would open them with both hands. And then you walk in with your penny loafer shoes on the cobblestone. Clack, 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 clack. You can never sneak in a Catholic church. Jesus was on the cross looking at you like this. And how many of y'all, I don't want to say the word that you swear, but how many of y'all would swear he looked at you? And he did like this. So you go in there and you're like, all the saints are looking at you. The stations of the cross, Jesus is doing all these different things. All eyes are watching you. And you go and they got the holy water. Now, I always thought the holy water was like, if I drank it, I would glow. That there was something different about it. That it was H2O and then something else. And I used to feel it. Like, does it feel different than regular water? And you know, you do the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But what I found out was that's the water they baptized the babies with. They would set that water aside for a very specific use. That's why it was holy. And of course, they prayed and blessed it. But it was still water. I mean, if you drank it, it's just water. But it was set aside. God says, you need to set aside your body for me. It is not for you to use the way you want. Period. In any way. In any way. In any way. I know some of you know, I know the abortion thing, it's my body. It's not your body. It's just not your body. You didn't create it. I just went through that already. It's not your body. The baby inside of you is not your body. It's a whole other person. It belongs to God. And so what God is saying is that I want you to present your body a living sacrifice, holy. That means it's only God. It's only mine. For me to decide how you use it, how you take care of it. Because I'm the one, God, who designed it. God designed it. He created you. He knows what's best, better than you can ever know. My daughter was born. My first child was a daughter. My wife's and I first child was a daughter. And when a baby is born, their head is very soft. As a matter of fact, your skull is like different plates. And when you're born, it's very soft. And the different plates have like, they're like hinges in between these plates in your skull, like faults in a ground. So you have a plate, all these different parts of your skull that are pieced together. But when you're in the womb, they're soft. And when you come through the vaginal canal and you're born, your head bends into the shape of a cone or like a bullet to come out. And then some kids stay cone head for, why y'all laughing at my daughter? She had a cone head for like, you know, a few weeks. Actually, a few years, I see. Some of y'all got this, still got the little point at the top of your head. So my daughter had a bump, a cone. Hers was to the side. She was like Gumby. She had this little peak over here, little Bobby Brown, you know. All y'all remember that. All the old people. So we wrapped her up in a blanket, and the blanket was all wrapped up like to her nose, and you could just see the point sticking out of the blanket. And I didn't want anyone touching her. And you remember the baby smell? How many of y'all have a baby, by the way? How many of y'all have a baby? How many of you have had a child? Okay, there you go. Do you remember the baby smell? How many of you have never had a child? Ooh. All y'all who never had a child, let me say two things. Let me say several things. When you have a child, one of the first thoughts that will come to your mind is, Mommy, I'm sorry. When you have a child, it's the first time your heart lives outside your body. You will realize all the stuff you did to your mother. Number two, you will finally realize what life is really all about. Because if you're single, God bless you, but there's a whole lot you really don't know. But anyway, my daughter, I didn't want anyone to hold my daughter. So one day we let her, this woman babysitter, she was like 21 years old, 22, and she let our daughter fall asleep on her neck where she had perfume. The perfume got my daughter's skin. It was there for like 5 days. I was so mad. because my baby smell was gone for 5 days. It's 24 years later. I'm still mad at that girl. I brought her to work, to the stadium, and my former hangout partner wanted to hold her and kiss her. And I said no, because I know where he has been. And you know what he said? I understand. God says, I don't want people touching you that I don't want touching you. I don't want people touching you in a way I don't want them to touch you. Looking at you and thinking about the way I don't want them looking and thinking. You belong to me. So if you surrender your body to me, your eyes, your arms, your feet, and let me dictate how you use them, where you go, who you talk to, who you lay with, who you cry with, who you laugh with. Let me dictate how you talk, what you say, how you say, to whom you say it. Then your life will change. But if you just come to church, put your time in, put some information in your head, and go about your business, that is not Christianity. That's religion. I'm checking the box. God says, no, no, no. I want your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. And by the way, acceptable means I want your best. When you come bring stuff to the thrift store, listen, we're not expecting you to bring brand new stuff, even though some people have and will, but please don't bring stuff that's not usable. You know, four-legged tables with two legs. What are we supposed to do with that? Here's a common rule. Bring stuff that's clean and that can work. Clean and can work. Simple. So we can give it to someone and bless somebody else. And by the way, we are going to work with the police and the fire department to help when they have families in need, to just bless them. House burned down. A woman's running from her husband who's beating her. She needs to start over. We want to use a thrift store to bless those people, when I say for free stuff as well. So that's part of this as well. Amen. So when you see when you hear a fire truck, and this is our desire, we're still working partnerships out. When you hear a fire truck going, you see a building burned down, that we are there on site saying, who needs something? You know, where are they going? Let us help. That's what we want. That's ultimately where we want to get to. And it's a great thing. But you want to bring God your best. In Israel, when they brought a animal to sacrifice, they had to bring a one-year lamb, the baby. Clean. It's healthy. And they sacrificed that to God. And by the way, the Passover lamb, they would live with it for 4 days in the house, get really close with it, and then kill it. That's what Jesus gave his son. He wanted them to know what it meant to give his son. But some, you didn't want to come up to God. Everyone's bringing their one-year lamb, bah, bah, and they're all nice and clean, bah, bah, we ain't coming back, we ain't coming back. And here you come up with your 90-year-old broke leg lamb, got all patches and needs, Rogaine, got fleas, foam coming out of his mouth. It can't even bat. It goes bat, bat, bat. And you're going, here you go, God. That's that. And God's like, well. And then it falls over dead. That's your sacrifice. God, I got to perform a miracle just to bring it back to life so you can sacrifice. You want to give God your best. So when you pray, don't pray right before you go to sleep. You cuddle up. Dear Lord. Dear Lord, half hour later, whoo, man, whoo, that was good, that was good. When you are the most alert, when you are the most awake, your mind is working at its highest. Give God that. Quiet. We're going to talk about in a couple weeks doing a daily devotional. Quiet place, you're there regularly, no distractions, cell phones off, computers off, TVs off, no one's buzzing around, it's you and God. You do that every day? Oh. If you wake up and it's just distraction, oh man, your whole life will just be toast. Start your day, let God readjust your life every morning, and then go about your day. your life will change. Number three, do not conform to the world, but be transformed. Transformed. T-R-A-N-S-F-O-R-M-E-D. T-R-A-N-S-F-O-R-M-E-D. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Everyone say transformed. God made every single one of you unique and different. You ever notice animal shows, you see a bunch of zebra, you can't tell them apart. You see a bunch of elephants, they all look the same. Lions look the same, even though God has distinguishing characteristics on each one. And yet you look around this room, we're all different. We're all different. And by the way, I tell you something amazing about color of people. You know how people say you don't see color? Please don't ever say that. That's so offensive. Oh, I don't see color. I don't see your color. So what am I? Am I like you? Are you blind? You're not. God made you a shade of brown for a reason. Because it glorifies him. So let's not ignore it. Every single one of y'all is brown. I'm white. No, you're not. You're brown. Lay in the skin, in the sun, and your brown melanin cells will be activated by the sun, and the brown will come out. You call it a tan. God calls it your natural color. I'm black. No, you're not. You're brown. The only people that got it right are the Mexicans. I mean, they're brown. I mean, God is Mexican. He's probably Mexican. Up there with a big sombrero, you know, just kind of kicking back. I mean, I'm only joking about the God being Mexican, but I'm telling you this. Everybody's a shade of brown. That's the amazing thing about God. He can take something very simple and make so many variations of something very simple. As I told you last week about jellyfish, a jellyfish is 90-something% water, no brains, no blood. And yet there's all kinds of jellyfish, look all kinds of different colors, and can jack you up, and all he did it was water. Water and a little dirt. And so my point is this, is that if God made you so unique, which he did, and God made you to stand out, why are you trying to fit in? The fact that you stand out is the reason I made you, because I want to be glorified by you. That's the beauty of God. So God is saying, give yourself to me and let me shape and mold you into the unique person I created you to be. Stop trying to be somebody else. Don't ever try to be like anybody else. Now, you can learn from other people. You can be disciplined like somebody, but in the end, you are a unique, created masterpiece of God. And none of you are an accident, no matter what your parents say. Because God intended for you. And God has a plan. But now it has to come back to, what are you going to do about it? The more of yourself that you surrender, the more of yourself God can consume. The more of yourself that God can consume, the more yourself he can bless. So some people get saved, and only thing they get saved is their Sunday morning from noon to 1. That's the only part of their life is saved. They're cursing driving here, and they're cursing driving home. But they come to church, Jesus, word, hey, praise the Lord. I'm a Christian for the next hour. I'm sitting in church, right, word, Jesus, right thing back. Okay, and then out, they're not saved anymore. Oh, by the way, they're not saved during the 5 minutes of the offering either. Your wallet is the last part of your body that gets saved. Is your wallet. Because once your wallets get saved and you really start giving, that's when you know there's a breakthrough. Because we hold our money real tight. Here's my challenge to you. Is to say, Lord, I want to surrender everything to you. My pain, my drama, my body, my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my arms, my leg, everything is yours. I want to use it only to glorify you. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And you're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord, either I want you to forgive me of my sin, or God, I have things I'm thinking about I want to surrender to you. You can cleanse it from me. I have things I'm always gossiping, or I have an anger issue, or I have an addiction. I want to get rid of that because I'm not using my body in a way that's glorifying you. As a matter of fact, all those things that are wrong, the one common thing they all have is they will kill you or something in your life. Because sin, the penalty of sin is death. It will kill your opportunities, kill your dreams or relationships. So right now I'm going to ask all y'all to bow your heads and close your eyes. and listen very carefully. The Bible says that all of us have sinned. Romans chapter 3, Paul talks about it. In Romans chapter 6, Paul says that the penalty of our sin is death, physical and spiritual. In Romans chapter 5, Paul says, while we were sinners, God haters, Jesus died for us. Romans chapter 10 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we'd be saved. God wants you to surrender. He wants you to stop playing church. He wants you to stop faking it. He wants it all. He died, he hung on the cross and gave all to you. Now he wants you to give all to him. So if you're ready to surrender your life, your body, your mind, you want to recommit your life because you have a part of your life that's just out of control, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I know you love me. I know you are merciful towards me. And I know you know who I am. Jesus, please forgive me of all my sin. I surrender my life to you. Every part of it. I surrender my body to you. A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable. Take over my life, Jesus. Thank you. As the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand. And when I ask you to stand, what I'm asking you to do is to command your legs to straighten up. And if you want to stand and you need to stand because you need a public confession, your legs need to do what you say. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet and acknowledge Christ in your life, his forgiveness in your life, his second chance. God bless you. 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 Very good. Stay standing. Very good. God bless you. 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 God bless you.